Who is the Old Testament character that did not have any parents? Joshua, because he was the son of Nun. Right. That's what the scripture says. Joshua's name means the Lord saves, or the Lord gives victory. Imagine Joshua, as a young man, he lived during the time of those terrible realities in Egypt. He grew up as a young man. They were slaves. Parents were slaves. He saw God do supernatural things, the plagues. They were not normal. Joshua saw those. Joshua experienced that miraculous deliverance from the Egyptians. He saw God divide the Red Sea. You will never see that. I will never see that. Joshua saw that. Can you imagine yourself in his place seeing God do that? A God of creation. That's the only God could do such a thing. I'm pretty sure Joshua was very much in awe about the whole thing. Joshua was the only one that was allowed to go with Moses to Mount Sinai. Joshua was the one who represented his tribe of Ephraim, as he was one of the 12 spies who went into Canaan. He came back, and Joshua and who else? Caleb said, "We can do it." No, they didn't say we can do it. They said God can do it. Yes, everything is true that the others said, but we can do it. He was a military strategist. He was a statesman. This is on, right? Up here? Okay, I thought it was not. Is it any different now? This is called Johnny on the Spot. I'll put on here so you don't have to call it.
Literally.
Okay? You can, good. Because I knew I could hear myself up here, but I just kind of got louder here and all that. Joshua 24:29 says, "After these things, Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. What a wonderful thing to have on your gravestone, servant of the Lord. You remember that when the children of Israel came up and they were needing to cross the Jordan to go into Canaan, two and a half tribes said, we'd like to stay here on the east side of Jordan. It's Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh. And so that was allowed, but they were told, the men need to come with us, and you help your brethren fight the battles until they are settled. After they were settled, we find in chapter 22 of Joshua that they were going to return across the Jordan to their own land, to their own people, and take many good things with them. But Joshua speaks to them. In Joshua 22:5, he says, take careful or diligent heed to do the commandments and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. To serve him. This is a reminder of what Moses had already said to them in Deuteronomy 10:12. In chapter 24, verses 2 to 13, the Lord rehearses all he's done for the children of Israel. And then in verse 14 of chapter 24, he challenges the people to service. Steve's going to read for us.
I'll be reading from Joshua 14 to 28 out of chapter 24. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord and to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our parents out of Egypt from the land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you." But the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." And Joshua said, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you've been chosen to serve the Lord." "Yes, we are witnesses," they replied. "Now then," said Joshua, "throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "We will serve the Lord our God and obey him." And on that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people. And there at Shechem, he reaffirmed for them decrees and laws. And Joshua recorded these things in the book of the law of God. And he took a large stone, set it up under an oak tree near the holy place of the Lord. "See," he said to the people, "this stone will be a witness against us. It has heard all the words the Lord has said to us. It will be a witness against you if you are untrue to your God." And then Joshua dismissed the people, each to their own inheritance.
Thanks, Steve. Joshua tells the people that based on all that God has done for them, they should serve him. 1 Samuel 12:24 says, "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you." The Gaither Vocal Band sings a song called "Loving God, Loving Each Other." Well, based on that, if we do love God and we do love each other, then we should be serving God and serving each other. That's what I want us to think about today. Serving God, serving others. I hope you don't mind I took my jacket off. That's based on Scripture. Ezekiel 44:18 says that the priests, when they're doing their ministry, were not to wear anything that causes sweat. It does. It says that. And so I'm thinking God probably has a purpose for that. And so I'm just preached this morning, not wearing that causes me to sweat. Okay, John 15:16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last." He says, "You didn't choose me, I chose you." Isn't that wonderful? If you know Christ the Savior, he chose you. And he brought it about that you would accept that. You would choose to be his, but he'd already chosen you. "I chose you, and I appointed you to bear fruit." Not that he asked for volunteers, because he said, "I appointed you. You're to do it. You're to bear fruit. Fruit that will last." So on that basis, we can say that as God's children, he's chosen us and appointed us to serve. Joshua was a chosen servant of God. You, if you know Christ the Savior, are a chosen servant of God, just as much as Joshua was. We read another verse. Moses was a servant of God. God chooses us and chooses us to be his servants, those who will serve him. What does it mean to serve? we're going to have a number of questions come across the bottom of the screen. And some of those are going to be very personal questions for you to answer in your own heart. Serving God, serving others, in a way all believers serve the Lord because he's our Lord and Master. Warren Wiersbe, he's got a book, I didn't bring it with me, called On Being a Servant of God. And in it, he describes ministry as that which takes place when divine resources meet human needs through loving channels to the glory of God. Ministry takes place when divine resources meet human needs through loving channels to the glory of God. You are one of those loving channels. He wants you to be one of those loving channels. Let me put it that way. That's probably a better way to say it. He wants you to be a loving channel that he can use. Divine resources. We do not manufacture the resources. We are God's distributors. And this is also from Warren Wiersbe's book. But I thought about that, and I reflected back on, remember the feeding of the 5,000? People were out there on the hillside. They'd been with Jesus all day. He was teaching them. He was teaching. It got into the evening, and the disciples, and I, you know, applaud them for it. They're caring for the people. They wanted to watch out for the people. We've been here all day. Went to the Lord. They're hungry. And I don't know if I should say they had the audacity, but to tell the Lord what to do. Lord, send them away. Send them away so they can go into town and get their food. And the Lord, you know the story? The little boy's lunch came. The Lord took that lunch and he blessed it. But then what did he do? He gave it to whom? The disciples, didn't he? He divided that little lunch between 12 disciples. And they went out and they fed the people. They were the distributors. They were not the source. They had no idea where it would come from. Even when that little lunch was put in his hands, I imagine they... What's he going to do? But he provided. He provided what they needed. They couldn't feed the people. They didn't have any resources themselves. We do not have the resource we need to go out and serve God and serve others. It has to come from him. Divine resources meet human needs through loving channels. Can you imagine at that setting, people are all sitting out in groups of 50s. Disciples are going around. What if three or four of the disciples said, you know, Lord, the rest of those guys, they are good at handing out bread and fish. We're just not so good at that. So we're going to sit and watch them do it. Oh, and by the way, thank you for making us your disciples. So easy for believers to not say that, but to live that. Other people can do it. They can do it better than I can. Well, God didn't say, you didn't choose me. I chose some of you to go bear fruit, and the rest of you can watch them. He calls each one of us. He calls me. He calls you. In whatever situation, whatever setting we're in, whoever we impact, whoever we influence in our lives, we are to be serving him first of all. That allows us then to serve others in the body of Christ and outside the body of Christ. Remember, God is just as concerned for the servant as he is for the service. He wants us to serve, but he's more concerned about you. He's more concerned about being than doing, about your being. Boy, all that he wants you to be, then you're doing. Because if you are being all he wants you to be, you'll be doing all he wants you to do. As I continue to share, as I mentioned, I'll be asking some questions you need to answer in your heart. But there's a caution in Jeremiah 17:9, and what is that? What does Jeremiah 17:9 say about the heart? The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, who can know it? My heart tries to tell me things are okay. It's okay, you know, you're all right. You're doing enough. Or, my heart can deceive me, even as I try to answer some of these questions. I can say, oh, I'm okay on that. But what you need to do, I'm asking you to do, is as you answer the questions, ask God to show you your true heart in these matters. That's what I have to ask him to show me. Show me my heart. He tells us that he searches our heart. He knows our heart. And he will show you and me what we need to do and know in response to his word. We're going to go through a lot of verses because we're going to be going back always to Joshua 24. But there's a lot of scripture that we're going to be looking at today. And in your bulletin, there's space on the back. But if you try to write down all these references, you won't hear what's being said, probably, because we're going to see maybe 100 different references of Scripture. What I will do, if you want all of, actually, these notes, I'll email them to you if you let me know it later on, so you don't have to write all this down. Okay? Okay, so, what does it mean to serve? Whoops. Oh, yes. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, or in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And what does he go on to say in verse 2? Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Okay, question. Are you ready to serve? Well, what do you mean, am I ready to serve? That's what we're going to look at. Romans 12, 2. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Is your life being transformed and renewed? Are you allowing God to work in your heart through his word? Are you in his word enough that he's able to work on you? Put it that way. And try to get you to respond to him in obedience. Another question. Can you name at least one or two areas where you've grown in your Christian life in recent months? Think back over the recent months. Has there been a change? Have you grown in the Lord in different ways? Or is it like someone once said, sometimes Christian life can be like a soap opera. You know, you can watch it one day, you can come back to it 3 months later and pick up right where you left off because nothing's really changing a whole lot. I don't want to be that way. I want to be always growing. We read in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, be diligent. Make every effort to increase in these different godly traits, in love, gentleness. Always increasing, because if you're increasing, then you're going to bless the Lord, you're going to be profitable in the ministry that you do. Question, what part does God really have in your life? Well, that's just a good question to ask. Does he have your whole heart? Does he have your whole heart? Or does he have part of it? That's something where I need to say, Lord, show me. Show me if I really have given you my whole heart. Yes, you're my Savior, but as far as my everyday living, where do I stand? Try taking an objective look at your life. Think of a day, not a Sunday, but a weekday, maybe last Tuesday, last Friday. And think about that day. In your awareness, what part did God have in your life? How much thought do you give to him during the day, throughout the day? How much thought do you give to him? Here at church, yes. A quiet time in the morning. What about the rest of the day? Do your thoughts have his fingerprints all over them? Do you bring him into your thinking when you're making decisions? When you're, whatever you're doing, let God be a part of your day. Because, and Ben was just telling me I had given a book to the deacons. It's called Practicing the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence. Practicing his presence. God is always there. He's here. Do I live in the conscious presence of the Lord? Am I conscious of his presence? That's the key. Because if I am, it's going to decide how I live. It's going to decide how I talk. It's going to decide even how I think, because he knows my thoughts. Living in the presence of God. Joshua 24:19, that Steve read, says, "You're not able to serve the Lord." That was Moses' excuse. "I'm not able to do it. I can't do it." Well, no, you can't. You can't do it in your own strength. He gives the divine resources. George MacDonald said, "In whatever man does without God, he must fail miserably or succeed more miserably. Without me, you can do nothing. We can try to go and serve in our own strength. We can do some, but not in the power that God gives us. Not with all God grants us to do and to use. His power, his strength, his wisdom, his words as we minister to others." John 12:26 says, "Whoever serves me must follow me." Question at the bottom, are you ready to serve? "Whoever serves me must follow me." Now, I don't think he's saying, if you serve me, you must follow me. I think he's saying, if you want to serve me, you must follow me. Following him, following in his footsteps, staying close to him. I don't know if I mentioned before, but you know, in the disciples, young disciple back in the old days, he's being discipled by a mentor. And he sticks close to that person that's teaching him. He watches him. He learns from him. He tries to act like him. He follows close. And back in Jesus' time, they walked the dusty roads. And they would often say of a disciple, "He's wearing the dust of his master," because he's walking behind him. He's walking close. He's with him. That closely wears the dust. Are you wearing the dust of your master? Am I? I'm asking myself these questions. Don't just try to get out and serve. Get ready. This is a slide that I took on the border of... Liz and I were going from Kenya to Tanzania, and a lot of Maasai people were there on the border, but this mother and her two little girls were there. The other girl was probably twice the age of this one. And it was neat to watch the older girl take care of the younger girl. It brought joy to my heart to see that. You know what J-O-Y is, don't you? Jesus and others and you. What a wonderful way to spell joy. We teach that to children. Jesus and others and you in the life of each girl and each boy. J is for Jesus, for he has first place. O is for others, we meet face to face. Y is for you in whatever you do. J-O-Y. Jesus first, then others, and then yourself. That's what we learn in Philippians chapter 2, the first verses. Next question. I just bought new batteries today. Here we are. Whom do you serve? Deuteronomy 6:13 says, "Fear the Lord your God, serve him only." And then Luke 4:8 builds on that, refers to it, and it says, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Fear the Lord, worship the Lord, serve him only. Yeah, we serve other people, but we're talking first of all God. We don't serve other things in place of God. We serve him first. And as we do that, we'll be able to serve others. We might be getting partway through this and continuing it on another time whenever I might speak, because we're on page 4 out of 10 pages. I'm just starting it. But I'm going to share these with you. Revelation 1:6. Christ made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. Colossians 3:24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians and he says, "You turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God." There are a few ways that we serve God without serving others at the same time. Galatians 5:13 says, "Serving one another in love." Galatians 6, next chapter, 6:10 says, "As we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So whom do we serve? We serve one another. We come back to John 15, 16. He chose you, and he appointed you to go and bear fruit. Next question. Why? Why do you serve? Verse 18. The Israelites said, we too will serve the Lord because he is our God. What more reason do we need to serve him? He is my God. He is your God. It's God's desire for his people. Moses shared that in Deuteronomy 10, 12. And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you? This is what he's requiring of us. But to fear the Lord your God, walk in all his ways, love him, serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I'm giving you today for your own good. Next question. Is it your choice whether you serve? Well, I just said earlier with John 15, 16, he appoints us, doesn't he? He appoints us to serve him. And yet, Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he said, you turned from God, from idols, to serve the living and true God. The Thessalonians made that determination to turn to God, to serve him. Joshua 24, 22, he says, you have chosen to serve the Lord. Joshua 24, 15, it was the choice for Joshua and his family. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. 1 Samuel 12, 24. I read it again because it's my life verse. Only fear the Lord, serve him in truth with all your heart. We're going to come to this all your heart. When we talk about how are you to serve. With your whole heart. Romans 1:9 says, God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son. I didn't realize until I was looking at this how many times God speaks of serving with your whole heart or wholeheartedly. That means with everything I've got. I put everything into it. It's just not something, it's a side thing. I want to serve him in every area of my life with my whole heart. Ephesians 6:7. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Someone says we play to an audience of one, and that's God. And others will look on as we do that. Colossians 3:24, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. It's the Lord Christ you are serving. 1 Samuel 12:20 and 24, serve the Lord with all your heart, serve him in truth with all your heart. What does Pastor say? All means all, and that's all means. All your heart. Deuteronomy 11:13. Serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. In 1 Chronicles 28:9, David is talking to Solomon, who is going to become king in his place. And this is what he says to Solomon. Acknowledge the God of your father, serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind, for the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts. He was concerned that his son Solomon would serve the Lord in a right and true way. Serve him with your whole heart. We'll come back to this verse in a little bit. We are to serve him with a willing heart and spiritual enthusiasm. One of the first passages of Scripture I learned when I was very younger, quite young, was Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. How are we to serve? With gladness, with a willing heart and enthusiasm, wanting to serve him. 1 Peter 5:2 says, be shepherds, speaking to overseers, those who are leading the church, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money or eager to serve. Same verse we looked at before, and we looked at wholehearted devotion, but here he says, serve him with a willing mind, because he understands your thoughts. Serve him with a willing mind. Romans 12:1. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Zeal, spiritual fervor. Serve the Lord with spiritual fervor. We don't use that word fervor too much, do we? So So I went to the thesaurus and looked up some synonyms. How are we to serve the Lord? With passion. These are synonyms for fervor. Dedication. Serve him with dedication. Serve him with enthusiasm, eagerness, zeal, and commitment. Am I serving the Lord that way? I'm asking myself, are you serving the Lord that way? That's what he's asking of us. How are you to serve? With the strength of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 13:4, for to be sure, Christ was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by God's power. Likewise, we are weak in him, yet by God's power we will live with him to serve you. And then 1 Peter 4:11 says, if anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides. How are we to serve? Another way that we're to serve is with a clear conscience. Paul said to Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:3, I serve with a clear conscience. Clear conscience before God. If I have anything on my conscience that's not good, I need to get it cleared up, don't I? I need to talk to the Lord, get it taken care of. If I have resentment, if I have a grudge, if I have anything there that's going to keep me from being all God wants me to do and to be, then I need to come to him and talk it through with him and allow him to clear my conscience, to restore my soul. To serve with all faithfulness. 1 Peter 4:10, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in his various forms. In Joshua 24, coming back to 24:14, serve him with all faithfulness, he said in verse 14. We're to serve him with determination and a yielded heart. Joshua 24, verses 21-24, we will serve the Lord and obey him. And then in verse 23, he says, yield your hearts to the Lord. A yielded heart, a determined heart to serve our Lord. And we are to serve without selfish ambition. In Galatians, we read, serve one another in love. Saw that once before. You remember the story of Naaman? He has leprosy. His maid says, you know, if he would go to Israel, he can be healed. There's somebody there that can heal him. So through the whole story, he ends up and he goes to Elisha, comes to his home, and Elisha doesn't go to the door, does he? He sends Gehazi. And he tells Naaman what to do. Go dip yourself 7 times in the River Jordan. Naaman doesn't want to do that at first, but his servants convince him this is the thing to do. He goes, dips himself 7th time, comes up, his skin is clear as babies. Leprosy gone. He wants to show his gratitude, so he goes back to Elisha's house, and he wants to give gifts. And Elisha says, as surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept a thing. He was not in what he was doing for selfish ambition. He could have had all those things. I don't know if it would have been wrong for him to take them. But he wanted to make the statement, I'm doing this for the Lord. The Lord is doing this through me. I will not accept anything. You know the rest of the story where Gehazi decides he wants it and goes after it. Serve in the fear of the Lord. 2 Chronicles 19:9. Orders given by Jehoshaphat to the Levites and priests. You must serve faithfully and wholeheartedly in the fear of the Lord. Psalm 2:11 says, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. I remember years ago hearing Adrian Rogers on the radio, and he said, spiritual fear of the Lord is love on its knees. I like that definition, love on its knees. I love the Lord. I stand in awe of him. How are you to serve? With confidence. Daniel 3:17, if you remember, Daniel's about to be, the three young men with Daniel about to be thrown into the blazing servant furnace, and they say to Nebuchadnezzar, if we are thrown in the blazing servant service, Ryan, do you want to do that for me? If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. They had confidence. You put us in there, It's okay, God's going to take care of us and he will rescue us from your hand. They had confidence. And staying in the book of Daniel, serving continually, remember what the king said to Daniel when he's about to be put in the lion's den. He says what? May your God whom you serve continually rescue you. Daniel was known for serving God faithfully and continually. And it made an impression on the king. And the king didn't sleep that night, ran out the next morning, didn't care what other people thought. And he called to Daniel, which showed that he believed that God was going to take care of Daniel. And then in Acts 26:7, it speaks about the 12 tribes having earnestly serving God day and night. How are we to serve? We're to serve with the family of God. Zephaniah 3:9, first part of the chapter speaks of God's judgment, and then in verse 9 following, God's redemption is announced. And it says, then I will purify the lips of peoples that all of them may call the name of the Lord and serve him, what? Shoulder to shoulder. We stand alongside one another. We serve together. We are a family. We have individual opportunities, but we have many opportunities to serve together as well. We're to serve to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whatever you do, nothing is too small not to be done to the glory of God. Someone, our president, really, president of CEF, started his own business when he was 24, really, really good business and so on. But when he was younger, he cleaned toilets. And he says, I did it to the glory of God. Lord, thank you for giving me this opportunity to clean this toilet. I'm going to do a bang up job. I'm going to do a really good job cleaning this because I want it to be to your glory. I mean, anything we can do, anything we do, he says, do it to the glory of God. Warren Wiersbe says this, when you find yourself more concerned about your image than your character and your work, you have stopped glorifying God. If I'm concerned about what people think about me, my image, then I'm not doing it for God's glory. And I want to do that. So what are some of the results of serving? We're going to get through this, folks. What are some of the results of serving? We read. How do we get past that one? We go again. My Father will honor the one who serves me. As we serve him, God desires to honor us. In his way, in his time, maybe unseen by others, but he honors us. I get the daily devotional from Chuck Swindoll, and this last series for maybe a couple of months has been taken from his book, The Great Men of God, or something like that, and it's been on the life of Joseph. And just watching Joseph go through life, being faithful and serving God. He complained even when he was 2 years after the chief butler left and didn't even remember him again. He still did his job. He did what he was supposed to do in the leadership that the warden gave him in the prison. But you see, all through his life, he continued to serve. It was the time coming that he didn't know about. He had no idea that he was going to be second in the land of Egypt. He didn't know what part he would play in saving his family from the famine. He was just faithful. God wants to use you and me. Ephesians 4:12 says, God gives pastors and teachers to why? Why do we have Pastor Howie? To prepare God's people for works of service so the body of Christ may be built up. We are being prepared as we hear the Word of God, as we spend our own time in the Word of God, so that we can build up the body of Christ. We can build up one another. Help one another to be more what God wants us to be. And then 2 Corinthians 9:12, The service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, that's another one thing it does, supplies the needs of God's people, but it's also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. People are thanking God as a result of what you do. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. We need to be living as one who is called to serve. A person who is called has strength from within, perseverance and power that withstands, strength from within, that's the Holy Spirit, withstand all blows from without. Called men and women may be the unnoticed and unappreciated. Of those Christ picked to be his disciples, few would have been candidates for high positions in religion or business. They were among the ordinary, but Christ called them to serve, and that made all the difference. He called them, just like he has called you and me. You did not choose him, he chose you, and he appointed you to bear fruit. Fruit that will last. That's our business. That's what we're to be going about today, tomorrow, the next day, the next day, the next day, the next day. That's the Christian life. Watchman Nee has written a number of books. One of them is called The Normal Christian Life. And I think he points out that many of us are not living the normal Christian life. We're living an abnormal Christian life. We're not living as God wants us to live. We're not out serving him as he wants us to serve him. I want to live the normal Christian life. That's my goal. That's my determination by God's grace. I fail, and I need to get up and do what John Maxwell is a speaker on leadership, and he has a book called Failing Forward. When you or I fail, we pick ourselves up and we keep going. We learn through that failure. So, Christ has called you to serve. Is it making a difference? In serving, we can always come back to Ephesians 3:20. God is able to exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think according to the power that's at work within us. The power that is at work in you and in me, the Holy Spirit. That's power. That's the power he's talking about. He can do exceedingly abundant. I like to start with, he can do what I ask. Okay, he can do more than I ask. He can do abundantly more than I ask. He can do exceedingly abundantly more than I ask. Or, think. He's given us an imagination. We can imagine great things. We cannot imagine anything greater than what he can do. He can give you courage to serve him in that divine appointment he might have for you tomorrow. Talking to someone, sharing a witness, sharing Christ. We just need to be faithful to our faithful God. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We want to be faithful servants. Thank you that you have called us. Thank you that you appointed us. Thank you that you give us the resources. You do the work through us. You've told us, we talked some weeks ago, to settle it in our heart that we have that confidence that you are going to work through us as we are available vessels in your hands to speak the right word to those around us, to those we meet, to share the gospel, to serve you first of all, and then to serve others, and all for your glory. We pray in Christ's name.